Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special virtual event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. This month, I'm opening up the doors to my membership site, the Easy EdTech Club. If you want to make EdTech easier this year, I'd love to have you join us. Each month, we look at just one EdTech topic, and I share a special masterclass video and so much more, like monthly planning pages, step-by-step guides, and giveaways just for members. You can join the hundreds of members in the club when the doors open on January 25th. And if you grab a spot on the waitlist now, you'll get something extra if you do decide to sign up. So head over to the classtechtips.com/club to grab your spot on the waitlist. This week's episode is titled 9 Favorite Google Slides Tips. I am a big fan of all things Google, especially Google Slides. It is so versatile, and I put together today's episode to go through 9 quick tips for anyone using Google Slides. I bet if you've used Google Slides on your own with students or with colleagues, you have some favorite tips too. Share your favorites on social media and make sure to tag me at Class Tech Tips anywhere you post. Let's dive into the list of 9 favorite Google Slides tips. First up is to change the page layout. Now, if you've been inside of a Word document before, you know that you can change the page layout pretty easily. You go into the file menu and page setup, and you can decide, okay, maybe I want to print this on 8.5 by 11, or maybe 11 by 14 inch paper, right? So changing the page layout is nothing new, but in Google Slides, you can also change the page layout or the size and shape of the slide. When might this come in handy? Well, you would follow the same steps of going to file and page setup and changing the dimensions if you wanted to change your slide into a square or into a rectangle like an 8.5 by 11 paper. This becomes very useful if you want a project to look a certain way, or maybe you want kids to all work within a square because they are making something that's going to look like an Instagram post or a collage. Or maybe you want it to be 8.5 by 11 because you intend to print out what kids have made or save it in a PDF afterwards. So changing the page layout is a quick way to make the size and shape of your slides different. So go ahead if you haven't already and you want to try it out next time you open up slides, change the page layout and see if you want to change it up from the normal standard or widescreen slide dimensions. Number 2 on our list is to add speaker notes. Now, speaker notes are at the bottom of a slide, and if you don't see the space to type it in, you would go into your slides to the view part of the menu and show speaker notes. Now, speaker notes might not be something you use all the time. It might not be something you say prep for a webinar. Maybe you don't need a script when you're talking to students. But if you are working with students that might benefit from having some extra notes about information, you might add to the speaker notes so that you can give them a couple extra pieces of information to dive into a little bit more deeply. Alternatively, you might have students add to the speaker notes. This is an option that they might take into consideration if they want to put citations or extra information to share with you. If you do access the speaker notes in Google Slides, you'll also find the voice option where students can use their voice and it will type straight into the speaker notes. Number three on our list is to link an image. You might be familiar with adding links to a slide or a document. You can either highlight text and right click so that you have the link option, or you might highlight text and do Control K or Command K, which is the shortcut for adding a link. Now, if you want to link an image, this is an option to put a link on a page without adding text. This way, someone would click on an image and go to that website. Now, this might be something you do regularly, so students would always know that when they click on a link on a picture, it would go to that particular link. But if it's not something you do normally, you might want to put an extra piece of text that says, "Click on the picture to go see whatever it is they're going to access when they click on that image." So number three on our list of quick tips is to link an image. Number four is to create templates. I'm a big fan of using templates. I use templates in lots and lots of places and parts of my day. Even if you are accessing the transcript or looking at the show notes for this episode, you'll know that I've got a template that I fill in every week with the information from the episode. Same thing goes in Google Slides. You can create a master template and then duplicate that over the course of the year. This is great if you are going to make something that you then want students to have a copy of. We'll talk more about copying slides in our next few tips, but a template may be something that is beneficial to you. You can go in and modify that template, and then the next time you use it, you can make another copy. Now, when you are creating templates, I encourage you to label them thoughtfully. You might put a big capital letter like master copy that you put before the title. You might also put an emoji in there or something that's going to grab your attention. I like being consistent with this type of template naming conventions because when I'm in Google Drive, I can just type in whatever word I use, master, template, and then I can find all of my templates at once. So our first four tips are to change the page layout, add speaker notes, link an image, and create templates. Next up, number five, is to force a copy. What this does is it sets up anytime you share a slide deck so that it automatically forces someone to make a copy. Now, of course, if you shared something in view-only mode, they would be able to make a copy and save it to their drive. This takes out that extra step. You can force a copy if you're using Google Classroom, and then when you attach a template document to an assignment, you can say that you want it to make a copy for each student. But if you're not in Google Classroom, you have this option too. The way to do this is on your web browser at the very top when you are in edit mode and making your slide presentation just perfect. At the very top, you can change the word edit in the URL to copy. This will force a copy whenever someone clicks on that link. Number six on our list of tips is collaborative sharing. Now, if you've joined me in a webinar this year or even in years past, I do this at live events often too, I often show off a collaborative sharing tip when I'm doing a presentation where I want everyone to contribute or show off something that they've made during that session. So with collaborative sharing, you would create one slide deck and you would share that link with everyone in your group. Now, this can get a little messy if you've got a lot of people, so you want to set them up for success with some expectations. What I typically do is I set up a slide with my title slide and instructions. Then I do a new slide with a spot for someone to put in their name and put in maybe the link to the video they made or insert the picture that they made, just depends on the project. Then I do a duplicate or a copy and paste of that slide with the name placeholder so that there's more than enough for everyone. Then I share that link with the group. They all jump in, pick a slide, and start sharing their work. So this is a tool or tip, I should say, for collaborative sharing. The next one on our list, number 7, is to add sticky notes to your slides. Now, you can't physically put a sticky note right on your slide, and there's not like a sticky note button within Google Slides. But if you go into Google Slides and you want to add a shape, one of the shapes looks just like a sticky note. Now, of course, you could do a square, but there is one that has a little bit of an edge folded up that makes it look just like a sticky note. This is great if you want kids to add notes on top of a piece of text, or maybe they're doing some annotation. This is great if you want to leave a comment that's not just the comment that you would type on the side of the screen, but you want to place it right on top of something, or you're marking up something alongside with students. Because it is a shape, you can change the color. So you can color code these sticky notes or these shapes when you add them to the slides. Number 8 and 9 are up next, but let's go ahead with the rundown of the first 7. Add speaker notes, link an image, create templates, force a copy, collaborative sharing, and then add sticky notes. Number 8 on our list is to create interactive activities. Now, an interactive activity takes a little bit of a spin on 2 of the tips we've already talked about. So here for an interactive activity, you would create a slide presentation, a template that you would share as a copy for each of your students. They would each have their own slide set up where they would add information. So with these interactive activities, you would not only share information the way you might normally put it on a slide. Instead, you would add in an action item. So that means that on a slide, you might say something like, watch this video and link it or embed the YouTube. And then you might say on the bottom half of that slide, answer this question. And then kids would type right in that slide on their own copy. This creates a space for an interactive activity where you share a resource and include an action item. Number 9 on our list is to crowdsource resources. I love this as a way to bring together your colleagues, or you can do this with students too, so that they all share their favorite things about a topic. This is a great thing to do in a planning meeting, especially at the beginning or end of a unit of study. How it works is one person sets up a Google slide deck. Then they invite the other members of the team into that deck. Everyone should be in edit mode so that they can add more slides, and they can make a slide for each of their favorite resources around a topic. So imagine you're doing something with Wonders of the World with a group of 6th grade teachers. You might all come together for your planning meeting and say, okay, most of us taught this last year. Some of us have already been gathering resources. Let's jump in and let's make a slide for each of your favorites. So some of your colleagues might make 2 or 3 slides. Some of them might just make 1, but either way, everyone walks away with a presentation full of resources that they can then go back to and maybe pick and choose which ones they share with students. So it's a great way to crowdsource resources in a space and maybe even introduce to your group some of these other Google Slide tips that we talked about today. So number 1, change the page layout. Number 2, add speaker notes. Number 3, link an image. 4, create templates. 5, force a copy. 6, collaborative sharing. 7, add sticky notes. 8, create interactive activities, and number 9, crowdsourcing resources. So just like every episode, let's end by making this EdTech easy. First, choose a new tip to try out next time you open up Google Slides. Next, notice if there is a quick shortcut or favorite way you use this tool. Then, share your own tip or one of mine with a colleague or your students. Finally, keep your eyes peeled for more shortcuts and new ways to use this versatile tool. Don't forget to get yourself on the waitlist. Head over to classtechtips.com/club to grab your spot on the waitlist for the Easy EdTech Club. Everyone on the waitlist will be the first to know when my membership site opens up for 2021, so you can join the hundreds of educators who want to make EdTech easier too. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. A review makes a big difference in helping other people find the podcast. So if you're listening, especially on Apple Podcasts today, just scroll down to the bottom of the podcast feed. You should see some other ratings and reviews. Tap on those 5 stars, leave maybe a sentence review. It would be a huge help and I would be so appreciative.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.